Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255 or text 580-580. With Frank Napolitano and Paul Rushforth, here is Steve Gregory.
Live in the brilliant sunshine of your Easter weekend.
Yep, happy Easter, everybody.
Good day, Mr. Rushforth, Mr. Napolitano.
Buongiorno.
Did you miss me last week?
You know what? I missed doing the show last week.
I loved the week off. It was awesome. I loved it. I loved it. But
I came down. I waited for my coffee. Nobody was here.
Well, speaking of coffee, let me start by thanking Frank. I do want to thank Frank because I went and bought a lottery ticket this morning on my way in here because I know that winning the lottery, the odds are so bad that there's no chance it's going to happen. Well, Frank called me and he was buying breakfast. I thought those odds were worse. So I went and bought a lottery ticket just because I know that.
Well, you
so
did fun. Prepare this.
Let's
get somebody impartial.
Yeah.
Steven?
Thank you for breakfast, Frank.
You're welcome. And how many times has Paul bought you breakfast?
So far zero, but I haven't asked Paul.
Oh, okay.
I haven't asked Paul.
Did he ask you for breakfast?
Frank.
I offer.
Yeah, Frank has offered me multiple times.
I'm glad there's nothing pressing in real estate and mortgages.
Yeah, seriously.
He's offered me multiple times to text him, hey, if you ever want something, let me know and I'll pick it up for you.
Well, okay, well, you know.
I like this new campaign for mortgage brokers.
In Paul's defense, I don't have his phone number, so I couldn't text Paul.
I'll give it to you. You'll probably not be on the show that week anyway. No, it's all good. Lots going on.
That backfired.
All right, last weekend of March. Have we started the spring market yet, Paul?
You know, weather-wise, we have. Listing-wise, we have.
Oh, we're up. We're up in listings.
Yeah, we are. We're at 3,629 listings on the market right now. When you throw in conditionally sold, you're over 4,000.
Is that expected to go up? Because we had Brandon Ray, as you know, do a little presentation for us this week, and he talked about the days 7 years ago, maybe, where there was 12,000 listings out there.
Yeah, so we've been seeing a decline in listings probably for the last 5, 6, 7 years. We've seen a decline in listings. Optimistic that it's actually starting to pick up listing-wise. I mean, Greg can tell you more. I mean, he's out there shooting all the properties for us. I'm seeing the properties come out. We'll see what happens with the numbers at the end of March. I know our company numbers, we did not have a great March. Like, it was a tough March. I mean, we're still going to sell, you know, 50 homes, but it's still, usually in March, we're at, you know, 70, 80, 90 homes. So we're considerably down. I'm assuming the market's going to be in a tough market. March over March will probably be up, but, you know, year to date, I think it's going to be, when the numbers come out, I think it's going to be a little bit tough.
It's all rates, right?
Yeah, it's all rates. I mean, there's still some optimism there. Like, people, when I talk to people on the streets and stuff like that, they're like, you know, rates are coming down. We're excited. Rates are coming down. When should we be buying? And I'm like, well, you technically should be buying now, because you said it last week or the week before, Steve, when you're like, you know, when you get a rate hold for 120 days and closings are usually anywhere from 60 to 120 days. Well, we're talking rates should be coming down in 60 to 120 days, potentially. And so it would be a great time to get into the market right now. We're seeing prices, sorry, very stagnant. We're seeing, you know, even prices coming down. I talked about,
Are there buyers out there right now?
Well, there is and there isn't. I mean, they're cautious. It's a very slow market. They're very, very cautious right now. You know, there's optimism that rates are coming down, but there's also fear mongers out there that are like, oh no, rates are going up or rates are going to remain stagnant. No, oh, there's still fear mongers out there. And it's
everything I'm reading. In fact, they're saying that our rates are going to come down long before the states come down.
100% they are. 100% they are. Yeah, they should.
It doesn't mean they will.
No, these
are
what they're forecasting. Yeah.
Yeah, but they should. But everybody's right that they should.
But I talked about over the last probably, I don't know, 2 to 3 months, I talked about new home builders right now in suburbia. Townhomes that used to be in the, you know, the 750 to 800 range have come down to, like, you know, 650. Now they're at 6. I'm seeing builders now at 579.9 for a brand new 1,800 square foot townhome. So prices are coming down. The problem being is once those rates start shifting and going down, those prices have nowhere to go but up. So no one has a crystal ball, and I can't say, you know, you need to buy now because they're going to go up. I'm just saying that I made this prediction at the end of 2021 before we went crazy at 2022. I'm making it again. I would strongly suggest if you're looking to buy something, you buy something now, because once those rates come down with the lack of inventory we have, with the pent-up buyer demand, kaboom is right. And it's not going to be an early 2022 like we saw, but it's going to be a small version of what we saw in 2022. And you could be looking at a townhome right now for $579 that could be $619, $639 in the next, let's say, 6 to 8 months. So get in while you can. And I know it sounds crazy because, you know, the rates are as high as they've been in ages. And people are like, why would I buy now? The rates are so high. They are coming down, but you're getting the prices low. Ride the wave like we've been talking about for the last year and a half. Ride the wave, and you're going to benefit in the end.
The only thing I'd say about builders, Paul, is that their costs are high too, because most builders aren't paying cash to build the properties. They're borrowing those yes. funds as well to build. So as interest rates come down, even though the prices are 579 and you're saying they might go up, there's also a chance that if rates come down enough and they see that the demand isn't quite as crazy as they thought it was. Because I think, listen, a half a point, three quarters of a point is not going to make a difference to first-time home buyers. They need a point and a half to 2 points to really feel comfortable getting into the market. So if anything, the builders may keep the prices fairly stable because their costs are coming down. Until the demand gets there. Once the demand gets there, then it's like everything else, supply and demand. If there's lots of demand out there, not a lot of supply, then that's what's going to drive the prices up. And again, the government loves to put all these rules in place and stuff, but they forget to look at themselves in the mirrors and say the reason we're in this predicament is because we don't have supply and that's our fault. Yeah. But they never do that. They like putting the blame everywhere else.
Well, that plus themselves. They were slow reacting to the economy, blah, blah, blah.
And they're slow reacting. There's a number of economists out there that are saying, listen, he's making the same mistake that he did 2 years ago. 2 years ago, he waited too long and he had to jack them up as quickly as he did. Some economists are saying he's waiting too long to drop them and then he's going to be forced to drop them quickly, which, again, most Canadians won't complain about. But most Canadians would rather start to see gradual drops starting sooner rather than later, just to give them some hope, because right now there's not a lot of hope out there.
You made a very good point earlier, Frank, about...
What? What?
Oh,
what?
Sorry. You made an average point the other just recently about, you know, builders may not jack up their prices because the cost of things are going to start to come down. That could happen. You might be right. That could happen because builders right now, I mean, the...
So that'll just squeeze their profit margin because labor's not going to come down.
No, labor's not going to come down, but the cost of everything's going to come down. And I know
labor has.
I know
labor has come down.
But I know I'm working with a builder right now who, you know, if he puts out 12 townhomes, we need to get 8 or 9 sales before he starts getting funding from the bank.
Right.
Well, once he gets that funding from the bank, you're right. His rates are, you know, 6, 7%. So, he needs to sell those homes quick. Those rates start to come down. Doesn't have to sell them as quick. Maybe he keeps the prices stagnant. Who knows? I mean, who knows what's going to happen? But I do agree with that comment, Frank. Believe it or not, you kind of make some good points here and there.
Labor's on the same side where if they're not building enough, that means there's lots of labor out there that's they're looking for work. So I don't know the cost will go up that quickly. I think until we get to the part where the demand starts to catch up, that's when we'll start to see labor go up a little bit. But here we have a country, we've let in another 1 million people from what I read in the last 9 months.
We're at what, 41 million now?
What is so difficult about saying to countries, listen, here's who we're going to bring in. Where are we short on? Short on healthcare. Let's bring in people who want to come to this country. If you focus on healthcare and trades, we're short on trades. Put an incentive in there to come to this country. I think there's lots of people in many countries that would love to come to Canada and earn $20, $25, $30 an hour that aren't making anywhere.
But they need somewhere to live, Frank.
I don't disagree, but this is where the government's got to get involved and say, here's what we're going to do. If you come to Canada, we're going to put you in affordable housing, and we're going to also help you get the training that you need.
There is no affordable housing.
I get it, but they got to build it. That's my point. They need to put that program in place. It's not difficult.
Well, they should have thought of that before bringing in so many people in such a short period of time. You got to realize these people need somewhere to sleep.
Yeah. I saw a post on Facebook this week of a friend whose 92 or 93-year-old mother fell, broke or shattered her arm, and sat for 14 hours in emergency before getting, you know, seeing a doctor and getting patched up and seeing a surgeon and all that. And they're like, but we're letting in all these people into the country, but we can't even take care of the people we have in the country right now. It's, you know, we talk about the medical, which we talked about before. We talked about the housing. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. I'm sorry, but it is.
Oh, a number of things are a mess. Our country's broken. I mean,
Boy, you guys are just happy Easter.
Yeah, you know what? In the second segment, we'll be positive. But listen, we hear from our friends.
We hear from customers and our friends. This is what they're telling us. They're feeling like everything is broken down. Like being the pride of home ownership is something that Canadians really, really enjoyed. And all of a sudden, that pride has started to slip away and slip away. And if you're getting, you know, an age where your kids, and your kids are there, Paul, where they're now getting into the age where they got to start working, and buying a home for them is next to impossible.
No.
And that's wrong. That's so wrong on so many fronts.
What do you need to save for a down payment these days?
You can save 5% to buy one.
But give me a real number.
But it's the income. The income and the stress test. So now we still have a stress test that's 2 points above whatever contract rate you get, they're not the highest contract rates we've had, but they're fairly high. So they're standing pat with their 2% because they're patting themselves on the back because they did a good job. The stress test proved its worth during when the interest rates hit rock bottom. The fact that people were calling 5.25% allowed them to be able to maybe afford what people didn't count on is everything else going crazy the way it has. But at least their mortgage was able to be affordable. So even though we've seen variable rates go up 475 basis points, most Canadians have still been able to keep up with their payments, which is incredible. It really is.
Yeah, the ones that aren't on variable, though.
Steve, but the ones that aren't on variable are in a fix, and they're laughing.
That's what I'm saying. That's
the
what I'm
problem
saying.
Is going to come.
Okay, but yeah. This year and next year, big
it's
trouble.
Next year and the year after. So the low interest rate cycle starts to hit in 2025 and into most of 2026 and early 2027. So that's why the forecast is for interest rates. If they haven't started coming down now, that's okay. But they must, 100%, they must come down starting in the fall of this year and into 2025. Otherwise, the housing market will crash in Canada.
To answer your question, what do they need to qualify? Obviously, Frank talked about credit. I mean, obviously, if your credit's good enough, that's great. But with an average sale price in Ottawa of almost $700,000, and even if you can qualify at 5% down, that's still $35,000.
Yeah, it's tough to save when you're paying so much for rent.
It's more because it's 5% of the first $500 and 10% anything above $500. So now you're looking at 20 on a $700, 20 plus a 25, 45, plus your closing costs, even with the first-time home buyer land transfer tax credit, you're still out another probably $7,000 or $8,000 in land transfer tax legal fees. You're probably having to save in the neighborhood of $60,000. Not so easy.
Well, especially when you're paying $2,600, $2,700, $2,800 in rent.
But Trudeau's got the answer to that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up. 521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, obviously the boat's not in the water yet. Mike Hapke joins us. How are you, Mike?
I'm ready to go, though. Let's go. Bring it on.
Yeah,
whoa. Steven, our producer's slipping. How do you let Hapke on the air like that, that easily? God.
I was having a great weekend until I started listening to the show. You guys are getting me all depressed. Lack of housing, healthcare, immigration.
No kidding.
You know, you go into the weekend just saying, good, we can just, you know, kind of relax a little bit. But I'm with you guys. It's part of our economy and our country right now. It's a mess.
I know. I'm on my third rye already.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah. Oh, well, happy Easter to all of you.
Happy Easter. You're calling with good news, I assume.
Always. Always.
Why don't we introduce Mike? He hasn't called in a long time, so why don't we introduce Mike?
It's been a little while.
Introduce yourself, Mike.
President, CEO at Advanced Mortgage Investment Corp., sister company to Mortgage Brokers Ottawa.
Personal friend of Frank Napolitano.
He doesn't claim to be friends with Frank. He keeps that private.
Typically you've been hearing from Sean Reed, our director of operations. And I said, you know what? Let me take it this weekend. It's been a little while since I've called in. So
are you going to make us some money, Mike?
You know what? It's been great. I must admit, I mean, on the mortgage side, on the real estate side for Paul and Frank, it's been a little slower over the past year, right? With the uncertainty with respect to interest rates and things of that nature. Listen, there's still no question. Housing, real estate, still an incredible investment and vehicle. But people are always a little more sensitive when the rates are going up. And what I can say is on our side, we've continued to provide an amazing rate of return out to our investors. So, you know, last year was just over 8%. This year we're targeting 8.25% within the portfolio, and it's still performing beautifully. You know, with our credit score.
Mike, before you go on, just because we probably have a lot of new listeners, can you explain exactly what the investment is?
I think you're being optimistic, thinking you got a lot of listeners, period. But
well, I know I do, because while I talk, the numbers go up.
So when a traditional lender, and, you know, say you go to Mortgage Brokers Ottawa or any other lender for that matter, and or provider of mortgage financing, and you can't get qualified through a traditional lender, sometimes a mortgage investment corp is a good alternative. And quite often the mortgage agent or lender who can't do the deal will recommend, hey, you know, there are other options available. It may not be through a traditional lender, and that's where we come in. So we're able to get financing done for some people that just fall outside of that traditional lending box. It does mean there's an increased rate in that financing and perhaps a fee as well, but it does allow them to, you know, qualify for short-term lending that gets them over that hump and then gets them back into the traditional borrowing stream, if you will. So we do at Advanced Mortgage Investment Corp. So we allow individuals that might think that they have to put things on pause. Maybe their business for self, maybe they're going through a separation or divorce, maybe their ratios are slightly too high. So when they try to qualify through a traditional lender, they can't. It's for many of those reasons and not because of poor credit. Our credit score right now, our weighted average credit score in the portfolio is 729. That's an incredible score.
Yeah.
So these are good qualified borrowers that are being sometimes pushed out of borrowing when they don't need to be.
Why is that, Mike? Why are they 729? Why are they pushed out of borrowing? Just divorce?
Self-employed,
right? Where they don't show a lot of income and the lender's not accepting them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the qualifying rate, right, Frank? I mean, yep. The qualifying rate is a big one. So if your ratios are too high, OSFI, the Ontario Superintendent of Financial Institutions, regulates through B20 and B21 regulations that you can only lend in certain situations. So these lenders are not permitted to approve, you know, certain borrowers.
And from the sounds of it, it's going to get more difficult, Mike, right?
It can.
No, with OSFI, OSFI now is going to bring in some new regulations, making it more difficult, right?
Yeah, it's still early. I mean, they're talking about the LTI 4.5.
That's right.
But that's still in its early stages yet. The rules behind it haven't come out yet. It's just been, right now, it's just tabled. And along with the lenders, they're working out how they put that in place. So it probably, that LTI probably won't come into play until November. And of course, they have to grandfather maybe clients that have investment properties. You're not going to force them to sell their investment properties, yeah, which is what governments may want because of lack of supply.
So from an investment standpoint, Mike?
Right. Yes, absolutely. We are always looking for new investors. So we open up to new investors at the beginning of each month. So if anybody is looking to potentially determine whether or not this might be a suitable investment for them, just look us up at advancedmic.com. We also have a link on our Mortgage Brokers Ottawa webpage as well. Or they can call me directly. I can give you that number as well, 613-656-0866. Let's see if this is a suitable investment product for you. If this is something that you're interested in generating, you know, a nice steady rate of return within your portfolio.
Tick, 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 tick. Yeah. I'm just counting down the time of when Steve's going to throw me under the bus for not investing in the MIC yet.
I would never do that.
Never.
You've lost out at what, 8% over how many years already?
Yeah. That only took 5 minutes and 34 seconds for you to throw me under the bus. Exactly. Yeah.
I wanted to leave that alone, you know. But
you know what? When you have as much money as Paul does, you don't need to invest in anything. He's happy with his little savings account.
Hey, Mike. I know I always end the shows, and I have been for many years now, with the supporting local businesses and charities, but Advanced Mortgage Investment Corporation took place in an event this week, right?
Yeah, we did. We did. We were doing a hockey helps the homeless, or I guess perhaps we call them the unhoused now, which is more appropriate. But yes, it was an event that raised over $100,000. So
wow.
The Advanced Group of Companies and Mortgage Brokers Ottawa collectively raised about $10,000 of that. So we were incredibly proud. We played three games. Paul, do you
and you had
play?
Fun, right?
Lace them up. I should have asked you.
Well, so I took my kids out to the canal about 4 years ago, and my youngest actually said to me, "You played pro hockey?" So no.
That's your answer.
So no, I don't lace them up anymore. No.
So I had my boys were there. I had one of my boys who was old enough playing on our team. So we're going in on 2-on-0. Does he pass to his father?
No.
No.
No, why would he? He knows he can score shot. And you're not.
He's grounded for that now. Anyway, and my other boy was there watching. He was volunteering, actually, which was great to see. And we leave, and he's like, "Dad," he goes, "you need to spend a little more time with Shelly Kettles, eh?"
Shelly Kettles, for everyone who doesn't know, is a skating coach. Yeah.
Now, you were playing, Mike?
Yeah. Yes, I was playing in that. Absolutely.
Did they have a seniors division?
No, they had to have one senior on every team, so Paul was it. Or Mike was it. Mike
from IP Wealth Strategies as well on our team. He was a great guy, great player too. So we're grateful to get him on our team. So he was our pro, and Nealer was there, and Donna was there, and Yorkie was there.
Nice.
Yeah, a lot of big names. So
did you guys got my donation right? I donated the defibrillator for you just in case.
I was a little worried myself. I brought my own.
All right, Mike, tell us again how we get a hold of you.
Yes, so advancedmic, that's MIC.com, or 613-656-0866. And we'd be happy to sit down with you. And if you want to come in, that's great. Or we can do it over the phone. Determine whether or not advancedmic is a suitable investment for you.
And what's your target rate of return again this year?
8.25.
Nice.
We're on target for that. So, yeah, so we're pretty excited.
Right. Awesome.
Paul's going to be so happy when this segment is over.
Yeah, because you're looking at me, Steve. I'm waiting.
Thanks, Mike. Great talking again.
Chat with you guys. Happy Easter to everyone.
Happy Easter.
Thanks, Mikey.
521 Talk, 521-8255. We'll be right back. Oh, look, Paul's on the phone already.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. Well, we got a big federal budget coming up on April 16th. What is going to be done for homeowners as opposed to renters before we get into renters?
Yeah, a lot of hot air. A lot of hot air.
You don't think anything?
No, nothing. Well, there's going to be some promises, but there's nothing's going to come to fruition.
I agree. I think there's going to be a lot of promises made. Okay, let's call a spade a spade. We got a lack of supply. That's what they have to address. And if anything, maybe give some Canadians some breathing room when it comes to the mortgage renewal.
I'm asking about what changes in mortgage. Will we see a 30-year amortization? Will we see a qualifying rate that's a little bit different?
Everybody outside the government that we talk to is in favor of a 30-year amortization for first-time home buyers. The only ones that are holding it back right now is OSFI and the government. That should be passed. And it should have happened already. And it has to be on the forefront. And if it's not, shame on them. Because it is too expensive out there right now to be able to qualify on a 25-year. Plus, I've never understood how somebody gets their first home for 25 years when they're in their 30s, likely. Most people getting their first home is in their 20s or 30s. Yet somebody in their 60s can get a 30-year amortization. The math doesn't make sense. None of it makes any sense today. So the first thing we should see is a 30-year amortization. The second thing we need to see is they really need to look at the stress test, apart from the supply. I think the supply is, like, we don't even have to talk about that. I mean, everybody knows that.
Well, we do have to talk about the supply.
No. But everybody knows we need supply. Yeah. So now the federal government will blame the provincial government. The provincial government blames the municipal government. And then nothing gets done. You got, the federal
government.
You're
talking about red tape now.
Yeah.
Well, the red tape. So listen, I have lots of friends that are builders, and big builders, medium-sized builders, and small builders. And I know apparently it's easier to start building now and getting shovels in the ground and the red tape's a little bit less, but
still a lot.
Their response to me is, no, it's not really. Like, I mean, do we get a couple things passed that maybe we wouldn't have got passed before? But it still takes as much money and as much time to
get. But is there a shortage of staff where they can't get their?
Well, there's a shortage of staff everywhere, right? Yeah. But you're right.
You wouldn't know it by looking at the city.
But even now, like, I have friends who bought lots. I'm not going to say who the builder is, but off a major builder. And it was conditional on getting these lots severed. Well, usually a major builder gets a lot severed in no time at all. It's been 6 months. Wow. So there's a lack of staff. There's a lack of everything right now. And it's the problem being is when I talk to these builders and I'm like, so apparently the red tape's been ripped off and you guys can get shovels in the ground much easier. And they're like, no, it's no different than it was before. Maybe a touch easier, but it's still like it's a process to get a shovel in the ground. And unless they fix that, unless they change that, listen, we got a ton of land here in Ottawa. Yeah. We got a ton of land in Canada. Like we have tons of land that we could be building on, but we can't build because the red tape is ridiculous.
But Frank's right. There's too many levels of government involved. You got there federal, is, yeah. provincial, and municipal. And unless they all get together and say, we are all going to do this and move ahead so that we get more homes, it's never going to get done.
And too many entitled people out there. With all due respect, I mean, you know, you've got potential, you know, plans for buildings to go up of 10, 12, 15 stories, and you got all the neighbors complaining about it. It's not fair. They don't want it in their neighborhood, and all they do is they hold it up. And, you know, I don't want a 12-story building next to my house too, but if it's right next to my house, I got an issue. But if it's four blocks away, enough already. Like, we need housing, so we need to build up. These building across is not going to work. It's too expensive. But building up at least gets some first-time home buyers into potential, you know, one- or two-bedroom condos to begin with so that they can start building some equity and at least have a dream that home ownership is possible.
Look at all the high density that's being built in all these major centers. Like, when you think of the Vancouvers, the Torontos, the Chicagos, the New Yorks, the LAs, up. They're building up. They're building
we
up.
We are seeing more of it in Ottawa, though, for the first
time. We are seeing more building up, for sure. Excuse me.
But we need more.
Condo living isn't for everybody, but it's affordable. Much more affordable than building across, as Frank is
and
saying.
And it's a start.
It's a start. And listen, builders make more money putting more doors under the same roof. And so that's why you're seeing a lot of builders right now are not building the big singles. They're building townhomes. They're building terrace homes. They're building condos.
And mainly terrace, right?
Mainly terrace and condos. And, you know, we just need supply. We need supply. And, you know, first-time home buyers are taken right out of the market. If they do come back, what product are they going to buy that's affordable? Condos, right? Condos are affordable. Townhomes are affordable. Well,
at least it's an investment.
But if we can't go up 10 floors, then let's go up 4 floors. Let's have these smaller apartment, you know, complexes where there's 4 stories and that's it. So that it doesn't take away the sunlight. I mean, municipal government needs to take their step now and say, we're going to do this. Provincial government, there's lots of land out there. Let's rezone it.
How though? Cut fees?
Of course. Of course they have to cut fees. 100%. They have to cut fees because it's too expensive. And that cost is being passed on to the consumer. And now the first-time homebuyer is saying, I can't afford it. So now we're building for no reason whatsoever. Because you can build 3 million units in the next until by 2030, which is what's needed to really help this population that we're at right now. But at the end of the day, you can't build $700,000 homes because people can't afford those. You have to build something that's in that, you know, $400,000 to $500,000 range. That's the main ticket right now that people are looking for.
Do you remember, which used to be
a home 5 years ago?
Yes.
Well, that used to 500 grand used to get you a 3,000 square foot home in suburbia.
Yeah.
But do you remember an article came out? Can't remember what paper it was in or what radio station or TV station about new home builders and the percentage of what they have to pay in just the things like soft costs and permits and all that.
Close to 50.
I think it was like 25-30% of what a builder has to pay is kind of like soft costs.
Yeah, throwing up in the air.
You're just throwing it up in the air, you know, your permits and your applications and your soft costs and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you got to develop the land.
Yeah, it's so much, and then, you know, Frank talked earlier saying supplies are higher, labor's higher. Like, you know, you don't get anyone for 16, 17 bucks an hour anymore. Like it's, you're paying 25, 30 bucks an hour for laborers to come in. And I just think that, for builders to be fair to them, even though they want to get shovels in the ground, it's not affordable for them either right now. Like they need some breaks to give us some breaks is the truth.
So will we see anything in this federal budget?
I think we'll see a couple of things. What I will say is that we've got lucky enough to have met someone who's in government relations. It's going to join our show on April 20th. It's going to be a great show. I didn't approve this. It's going to be a great show because Paul's not going to be here. So it's going to be a great show on April 20th.
April 20th. No, I'll be in Mexico.
Yes, you will. You will. So, Tanya's going to join us and she'll be able to decipher the budget that happens on the 16th. And tell us some of the good and or bad and realistic parts that are actually going to come through or whether they're just I'll talk.
And I'm just wondering how this is going to work, because the Bank of Canada, on the one hand, doesn't want anyone investing in real estate and buying homes right now. And now what is the government going to do? Are they going to come up with a scenario where they did the last time, where a first-time homebuyers program is never going to work because it's
Well, there's
just
an example
useless?
Of a program that really they introduced with not a lot of thought behind it. They don't notify the lenders, who have to obviously change their systems to be able to program this the first-time homebuyer incentive, which they've since canceled. But again, there's an example of introducing something for political gain only, because it never made financial sense why anybody would go into it. So we're hopeful that there's another program coming out that does not include share ownership, because that's where Canadians draw the line. They don't want the government to co-own a house with them. No interest in that. Will they?
Nor should the government be in that business.
Nor should
they
anyway.
With. Yeah.
But will they take an interest-free loan that has to be paid back when you refinance or when you sell? That's okay. Yeah. I mean, you really want to incentivize young Canadians to have that dream of home ownership? Then do a first-time home buyer interest-free loan for 5%, and then the applicant's got to put another 5% in, so that at least it drives costs down, and it's interest-free until whatever. Put a date on it. Put 5 years. Put 5-10 years, so that they can build some equity, and then they have to pay it back.
How about interest-free until you sell?
Well, yeah, but that could be forever, and I think the government but the government may not want to be invested that long, and that's okay, because young Canadians need help to get in. Like anybody, we talk about the bad news, the good news. If you bought a house 5 years ago, you're up probably anywhere between 40 and 60% of the value of your home in tax-free equity in the home you lived in. That's very, very good. So that's good news. So that's what I think young aspiring homeowners want, is that dream, at least, to be able to move into a property and hold it for 5 years. And listen, they're not going to make 45 or 50% in the next 5 years, but if they can make 10 or 12% return, so that a house that they bought for $500 is now worth $560, $570, $580, now that's fantastic. And I think they're very happy with that return.
That's still a very good return.
Yes, it is.
Just not a crazy return. Which
no.
Well, and that was a once-in-a-lifetime return, right?
Well, when you go up 50% in 3 years, we went 42% in 2 years, and over 3 years, 50%, not happening again. I mean, that's – no one predicted it, and I don't think that'll happen in my lifetime.
Well, which is why salaries didn't go up 50%. So if you're a first-time home buyer, you got to have some kind of a program to get you in if you want a home.
That was a very, very, very frustrating market for buyers. Very frustrating. Yeah. I felt so bad for buyers, because the market just kept going up and up and up. And homes that were at 600 overnight were 700, overnight were 800. And it was just in the market.
And a lot of it was buyer driven, because if you wanted to get in, you had to pay it.
You had to pay it. And the problem being is we had a lot of Toronto buyers coming here, right? Because Toronto saw the same sort of market in Toronto, where they went from 1.2 to 1.5 to 1.7, where in Ottawa, you could get that same product for 700. So we had a lot of Toronto buyers coming, and what was happening is the agent would say, well, you're not going to get it at 7. Oh, 750, how's that? Well, for Ottawa, that's expensive. Yeah. For Toronto, that's cheap. And so we had a lot of Toronto buyers coming in, people working from home, and they started buying up our Ottawa product, and it drove up prices. The rates were low, and it just drove up prices.
So who's to say that can't happen again?
It's not going to happen again. I mean, we're going to see that again, but just a smaller version. We're not going to see what we saw at the start of 2022, but we're still seeing Toronto buyers here. Like, it's not affordable to live in Toronto right now. And if you're working from home, if you're, you're mobile, you could actually move to Ottawa half the price and do your work from home. And let's be honest, we're a beautiful city. We're a lot different than Toronto. We're a lot more boring than Toronto, but I believe we're prettier than Toronto.
That's only because you
less
guys
crime
are
is not boring. Less crime is not boring in my world.
Well, so. and less people, less, people are on top
go
of
to Maritimes.
Each other.
We're seeing a lot of people go to Maritimes. Yep. Maritimes,
but that's getting expensive too now.
And Alberta. Yep. Alberta's the hotbed right now in the country. See, Alberta goes against the flow of what everybody else does. So during the pandemic, Alberta didn't go up as much.
Yeah.
And of course, when the oil went down the way it did, then they suffered, but the rest of Canada was going up. So Alberta tends to do the opposite of what the rest of the country is doing.
Exactly what you're saying, because I have realtor friends from Alberta, and as we go down, they go up. As we go up, they go down. It's true. Like anytime we have a thriving market, I talk to my realtor buddies, and they're like, oh, the market sucks here. Well, when we were going down last year, my buddy was like, oh, my God, we're thriving here in Alberta. It's
So if you're smart, you're buying and selling between Ottawa and Alberta.
In Alberta, just moving back and forth. Time it out. Time it right. Yeah.
Yep.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back to the show. Brian Napolitano here, Paul Rushforth here.
Yep, I am.
Looking forward to the Renter's Bill of Rights, are we? Which was announced this week in the new budget.
Yeah,
you can't go down that road because it's so wrong of him to do what he did. This isn't political. This is just, it's a provincial jurisdiction. Rents are provincial jurisdiction. So you can't have the federal government come out and make comments about something they don't have jurisdiction over.
But also,
and there's been a number of provinces that have already come out and say, I don't know what he's talking about. Yeah. That's not what we're doing. So,
yeah, it's,
and it can't be one-sided. There's problems on both sides right now.
So here's my response to that. It's like they're going to protect renters from rents going up. It's like, well, wait a second. So you, government, created inflation. You, right now, they're creating it with the carbon taxes and with the shelter being part of the inflation, so he won't lower interest rates. So now I've got an investment property that's currently at 2.89. My mortgage is coming up, and I'm going to get 5%. So my payment's going to go from $1,600 to $2,200, and I shouldn't be able to recoup some of that rent? I should have to take the money out of my pocket?
Well,
that makes no sense.
You can, but the amount you can increase rent is terrible. Like, I mean, I think last year one of my investment properties, I was able to increase it like $32. Like, you can only do it according to the tribunal,
which is provincial. So what's he talking about?
Yeah. That's
my point. And what he's trying to do is sounds like give more renters rights and
trying to buy votes.
He's trying to buy votes. He's trying to buy votes. And it's, listen, I'm all for renters having rights. Absolutely.
But landlords need them too.
But I'm also for landlords. I mean, listen.
But the practice has to be fair on both sides.
I worked my tail off to be able to afford the investment properties I have, and I have no rights over them right now. Zero. Like, you live in them, you do whatever you want. When you decide to move out, I'll just take a look at it, and if it's trashed, it's trashed. I can't do anything about it. Alberta's gone the other way. Alberta is all for the landlord, meaning if I don't like you talk to me wrong, Steve, I'm increasing your rent by $500 a month.
Yeah.
I also don't agree with that.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be a happy medium, and right now it's not here in Ontario. In Ontario, landlords have no rights. Tenants have all the rights, and something needs to happen.
But not only that, it takes forever to get to the rental tribunal.
Oh, it's even worse now. Yeah. I mean, it used to be bad, but now it's even worse. I mean, even trying to get them on the phone.
Yeah. But this is how far off base he is. He even talked about the rent evictions where people say, I want to renovate my house, so you got to leave. The law states, the provincial law states that they get first dibs at coming back to that home later on at the rent plus whatever increase is legally available for them to move back in that home. So that's not an issue in Ontario unless he thinks it is. So
you can't ever kick out a tenant to put in a new tenant. It's illegal. Like, you're going to get fined through the roof to do that.
Yeah.
So in order to kick out a tenant, it's virtually impossible. I mean, I'm thinking of selling a couple of my investment properties, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know how I'm getting my tenants out. Like, I'm going to have to fork over money just to get them out. And I know I'm going to have to do that.
There realtors right now that are refusing to take listings that are tenanted until they're vacant?
Absolutely. Okay. It's hard.
I thought so.
It's hard.
I mean, thought so, because I had a client lose their purchase because the tenant wouldn't move out.
Yeah.
And she couldn't get them because she was buying with less than 20% down. She's signing a declaration saying it's owner-occupied. Well, that wasn't happening because the tenant was refusing to leave.
Yeah.
What happens if you've bought a property and the 3 months are up and your closing date comes and the tenant has not
left? Exactly what happened to my client.
It's happening every day.
But what happens?
The deal's null and void.
As a buyer, what happens?
Deal's null and void. Well, you walk away. Unless you can get finance and get your lender to approve the fact that it's going to be tenanted for a month or two or 3 months until you can get them out. But that's very difficult and impossible if you're buying with less than 20% down. Because if you're buying with less than 20% down, must be an owner occupied on the day you're signing. Like I said, you're signing an affidavit at the lawyers saying that you are only using that property as an owner-occupied property.
It's the laws and the rules and the regulations. It's an absolute nightmare. One thing I will say is I will toot the horn of my agents is because you talk about some agents who don't want to list those homes because it's just such a nightmare to do. We are listing those homes, but we're trying to come up with creative solutions to make it a win-win for the landlord
ahead of time
and a win-win for the tenant ahead of time. So we're finding creative solutions. And I've had people who have bought out, a month's rent. I have people who have bought out 3 to 4 months rent because it was important to get them out there. We've worked with tenants. We've worked with landlords. And it is the agent's job to be that liaison between the landlord and the tenant. But all I'm going to tell you, it's not easy.
Yeah.
It used to be easy. It used to be easy when things were normal. It's not easy anymore. Trying to sell a house with a tenant in it is not easy. Even the showings aren't easy. You know, because most tenants, they don't want to leave.
Yeah.
A lot of them have been in this house for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years.
They're not inspired to clean the place before a showing.
They're paying peanuts in rent, and they know if they get kicked out, they're going to go pay a lot more in rent. So they're not inspired to show the house. They're not inspired to clean the house. The house is actually a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. And a lot of the feedback that comes back with those tenanted properties is like, there was dog feces everywhere. There was diapers everywhere. Yeah. What is a tenant care, right? Yeah. It was a tenant care.
What about rental history being on your credit score?
Well, I have no idea how landlords are going to have access to Equifax and or TransUnion to report these things. So this is something else that he brought out. We're going to make sure that, you know, it's going to be on the credit report that if you pay your rent on time. Well, how's that
possible? I can see you filling out those forms,
yeah.
Paul.
Yes, I can. Yeah, I'll be filling out those forms for sure. I got all the time in the world to fill out those forms. Yes. So, yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't make any sense.
All right. Birthdays.
Oh, I got 2 weeks' worth, so it's going to be a while.
Here we go. Good night, everybody. Show's over. Thanks, Stephen. Click, click.
Do you have any, Paul? Because I need all the time.
I do have some.
Okay.
I do have some. I have some important ones.
All Absolutely. Right. All right. So I'm going to start with Carla Natoli, a good friend of ours. Alfio's wife celebrated her birthday. From our office, Melissa Doxy, Darren Keck, Kay Coley with her milestone 65th birthday, and Renee McNeil, as well as my nephew, who's now with Mortgage Brokers Ottawa, Michael, celebrating their birthdays. My dad's first birthday in heaven was a week ago, so happy birthday to my dad. And again, with the bad, sometimes you get the good, and the good is that became a no-no for the second time. My beautiful daughter, Leanna, gave birth to a beautiful, beautiful granddaughter, Gia. Welcome to our world, Gia.
Wow.
Grandpa. Grandpa times two.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, and good friend Rick LeMay celebrated his birthday, too.
Oh, you took Rick? Oh, you did. I was going to wish my good buddy Rick a happy birthday.
I know you were.
So anyways, Rick, yeah, her happy birthday was on Wednesday. We had a good night at Moxie's. Can you pull up, Greg, can you pull up Facebook and just get about 17 birthdays so I can take, I can beat Frank? I do have two.
I've already left the building.
I do have two. My beautiful girlfriend's dad celebrated his birthday today over in Slovakia. So happy birthday, Joseph.
Speak up. He can't hear you.
Yeah. And also a good client, as well as one of my girlfriend's besties, Jody Adler.
Oh.
Jody Adler celebrates her birthday this Thursday, the 4th. So happy birthday, Jody.
We need another hour for this show.
Yeah.
Have a great week. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, everyone. Please continue to support local businesses and charities.